Before we enter into a time of the sermon, I want to read some scriptures with you. If you guys have your Bible or your Bible app, please turn to Luke 24. I will be reading from the Message version. And Luke is close to the beginning of the New Testament, if you don't know that already. But I'll go ahead and read. That same day, two of them were walking to the village, Emmaus, about 7 miles out of Jerusalem. They were deep in conversation, going over all the things that had happened. In the middle of their talk and questions, Jesus came up and walked along them. But they were not able to recognize who he was. He asked, "What's this you're discussing so intently as you walk along?" They just stood there, long-faced, like they had lost their best friend. Then one of them, his name was Cleopas, said, "Are you the only one in Jerusalem who hasn't heard what's happened during the last few days?" He said, "What has happened?" They said, "The things that happened to Jesus the Nazarene. He was a man of God, a prophet, dynamic in work and word, blessed by both God and all the people. Then our high priests and leaders betrayed him, got him sentenced to death, and crucified him. And we had our hopes up that he was the one about to deliver Israel. And it is now the third day since it has happened. But now some of our women have completely confused us. Early this morning, they were at the tomb and couldn't find his body. They came back with a story that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Some of our friends went off to the tomb to check and found it empty, just as the women said, but they didn't see Jesus." Father, thank you so much for the power that you had to raise your son back to life for us. Thank you for not coming back flashy to tell people, but in little ways alongside two disciples that really weren't known. That's so great because you meet us where we are in everyday life. I'm so thankful for that, Father. So please, now I pray for Sean as he delivers the message through you, what you've been placing on his heart all week, all month about this sermon. Please open our hearts and our ears to what you have to say to us. And we love you and thank you so much for your son. Amen.
Well, happy Easter, everyone. He is risen, and I guess we should do it. He is risen. He is risen indeed. It's kind of a little tradition around Sherwood Oaks. I heard a new spin on the tradition this morning. He is risen, and then you respond with "true dat." And so let's give it a try. He is risen, true dat. I like it. I think that's going to catch on right there. Well, we are glad that you're here to celebrate the resurrection with us today. And it is the one event that changed everything for everyone. And people all over the world have been celebrating Easter. It's been going on for hours in different hemispheres. And now we join in the chorus of everyone proclaiming the good news that he is not here. He is risen. And it truly is a message that is being talked about everywhere this morning. And not just this morning, but even leading up to Easter. I don't know if you caught this or not, but last Monday night, the IU women's game, we played at Assembly, played Oklahoma, ESPN was there, and ESPN's cameras actually caught a couple of people from right here within our own church that were talking about the resurrection. It was amazing. Check this out.
Did you see the tomb is empty?
That's right. Indeed, he is risen.
It's incredible. That was a stretch. I mean, we were really going for something. I told the 8 o'clock service that if they didn't laugh at that, we probably weren't going to show that at the 9:30. But they laughed. They laughed just enough that I'm sorry, Beth, Andy. We had to show it at this one as well. So, Easter is here. Jesus is alive, and that is worth celebrating. And people around the world, this this message of the resurrection, it brings a sense of joy. It brings a sense of hope. It brings a sense of peace. And maybe that's where you are this morning. Like you woke up this morning and Easter just hits different. You wake up with like this sense of expectation, the sense of joy and excitement. And you came in here today and that's the headspace and the heart space that you are in. And if that's you, then you can relate with where those first followers of Jesus were on that first Easter. But I also know in a room like this, there's people that like you wouldn't use words like hope and joy and peace to describe what's going on in your life right now. You would use words like grief and sorrow and confusion and maybe even despair, sadness. These words better capture what life feels like for you right now. And if that's the case, I want you to know that I think you could also relate to where those first followers of Jesus were that first Easter morning. Because when we read through the Gospels, we see the gamut of emotions on full display. We see the highest of highs, but we also see the lowest of lows. And the catalyst that swings the pendulum from the lowest of lows to the highest of highs, the catalyst that swings this pendulum is an encounter with the risen Jesus. You see, when the disciples woke up that first Easter morning, a few days removed from the crucifixion, they woke up in a world that was so much different than what they had lived in for the last 3 years. They woke up with feelings that were so much different than what they had been experiencing. They woke up that morning not knowing that this day was going to be a day and a morning that was celebrated for the rest of history. When they woke up that first Easter morning, they didn't know it was going to be Easter. And they were lost, they felt hopeless, they were confused, they were afraid. We find some of the disciples, these followers of Jesus, they were having doubts about everything that they had seen, everything that they believed to be true. They didn't know what to do next. Jesus was dead, and they didn't know where to go from here. And they're in a place that many of us have found ourselves in, that I know I found myself in when I'm feeling a little bit disoriented by the world, by life, these moments of discouragement. When I'm in those places, maybe you do this too, I have tendencies to just fix my eyes on those things, to be consumed by what is consuming me, to only be focused on my circumstances and my problems. And I get fixated and focused on my problems and my perspective and my limited understanding. Maybe you do that too. And when we do that, man, we just focus on our lives and we have tendencies to miss anything and anyone else. We see that in the resurrection accounts, and because people were walking around fixated on their problems and their perspective, they actually miss Jesus. And I think what was true for them continues to be true for us. Sometimes it is hard to see Jesus through the fog of our circumstances. We go through something in life that leaves us confused, that leaves us disoriented, and we wonder, Jesus, where are you? It is hard to see Jesus through the fog of our circumstances. And he's there, but we can't see him because all that we see is our pain and our doubts and our fears and our disappointments that are right in front of us. I think that's the mood of Easter morning. Before we get to joy and peace and hope, we start here. These first followers of Jesus, they were blinded by their circumstances. It was all that they could see. And so we pick it up in Luke chapter 24. We're going to be bouncing all around. Renee read part of it earlier. I want to go back up to verse 1 in Luke chapter 24. It says, on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. And they found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And this verse 4 says, while they were wondering about this, even though Jesus had alluded to his resurrection, had told them what was going to happen, When they found the empty tomb, they were left wondering, what is going on? Where is he? And don't miss this. Like, they went to the tomb that morning expecting Jesus to still be dead. They went that morning to prepare the body. It was over. And so when they got there and the stone was rolled away from the tomb, they were scratching their heads going, what's happening right now? A little bit later, after they go and they tell the other disciples what the angel had told to them, he is not here, he is risen. We find in verse 12, Peter, however, got up and he ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves. And he went away wondering, same word, wondering to himself what had happened. Same experience, slightly different reaction. The NIV captures their emotions in the same word. It says that they both were left wondering, but in the Greek, it's actually two different words. When the women left, they were wondering, they were perplexed, they were confused what was happening. When Peter left, he left in wonder. He left in awe of what was going on. He was astonished by the empty tomb. But I think he was equally confused. Because just a little bit later in the chapter, Jesus comes and he stands amongst his disciples in the upper room. And Luke says in verse 37, they were startled and frightened, thinking they had saw a ghost. And these are like intense words. They were terrified by this. Even though they'd heard that the tomb was empty, their circumstances kept them from seeing Jesus, and they were scared when he showed up in the room. My daughter Nora and I, we have this fun game that we like to play where we scare each other. I'm sure it's going to lead to years of therapy for her later on in life, but it's fun for me, and I think it's fun for her. She tells me that it is. And so we'll hide in different places, and we'll pop out, and we've got this one place down in our family room in our basement. You go down the stairs, you come around the corner, and they always fly down the stairs, and I love to stand behind that wall and just like yell, and like just go, wah, scream out. I always try to make sure that she doesn't like have any drinks or food in her hand as she's coming down, because we all respond to situations like that differently. There's like three different ways. You either fight, you flight, or you freeze. And you can ask Quentin what my response is. I fight. If you scare me, no, I'm going to come swinging. Quentin is rubbing his chest right now because he scared me one time and I hit him so hard, it left a handprint. You could see my hand on his chest. So I'm just saying, fair warning. And as I was telling Nora this morning that I was going to be sharing this story, she's like, yeah, I mean, you've never hit me too hard. And I'm like, Can we just like not talk about it? Like, I don't, certain people get called if they hear those kinds of things, and I don't need that smoke. And she's okay. She was laughing. But that's my response. I fight. Nora immediately goes into flight and freeze, like simultaneously at the same time. You scare Nora, her knees give out from her, and she just immediately drops into the fetal position. She's like, ah. But then something happens. As soon as her legs, give out and she drops like a sack of potato, that instant of fear immediately turns to joy. And she starts giggling and laughing and like, oh, that was so good, and we just, and that's why we keep playing the game. I promise, it's okay. And I think that this kind of captures the mood in the room when Jesus appears. They are terrified, they are frightened. But when they realize that it is the risen Jesus, everything changes for them. Joy sweeps into their life, and they are perplexed and amazed all at the same time. We read this in verse 41, and while they still did not believe it because of joy and amazement, they're like, this is too good to be true. While they still could not believe it because of joy and amazement, Jesus asked them, do you have anything here to eat? I love that. Jesus is like your teenage son's friend who walks into your house, and the first thing they ask is like, I'm hungry, got anything to eat? He hasn't eaten in 3 days. I'm sure he is hungry. And the disciples, in this moment, they went from terrified and fearful to joy. They went from saying, I cannot believe that this is happening, to I cannot believe that this is happening. That's the power of the Easter story. Easter reminds us that things are not always as they seem. Going into that morning, the disciples thought that Jesus was dead. It was all over. They were confused. They were downcast. They were disillusioned. They couldn't see Jesus through the fog of their circumstances, even though at times he was literally standing right in front of them. They missed him, just like we do. I think verse 21, it gets to the heart of why we often miss Jesus when we go through hard times, why I've missed Jesus and some difficult times in my life that I've walked through where it's left me going, Jesus, where are you? And that passage that Renee read for us, Jesus is walking with two of his disciples, two people who had followed him, who had been with him, but they didn't recognize him. And as they were walking with him, he was asking them questions about why they were so sad and what was going on. And they're like, how do you not know what has happened? Where have you been? And they, I love it. They start telling Jesus about Jesus. They start telling Jesus about everything that had happened to Jesus just a few days ago. And I think in that moment, they don't just retell the story. They begin to relive it. Have you done that? Like when you've gone through a trauma in your life, when something has happened that disoriented you, that left you a little bit discouraged or in despair, whenever you retell that story, it takes you right back into that anger, right back into that fear, right back into that hurt. And we replay it in our minds and we find ourselves there in a moment, right back into that place, and feeling all of those things over again. And I think as they were walking along this road to Emmaus, recounting to Jesus everything that had happened, they weren't just telling it with their words, they were feeling it all over again in their heart. And then we get to verse 21 that I think really gets to what is actually happening in them and what happens in us as well. It says, the disciples said to Jesus, but we had hoped that he was the one that was going to come and redeem Israel. We had hoped that Jesus would do this, but instead this happened. These guys had hoped that Jesus was going to redeem Israel by conquering the Romans, by rising up to power. They were so focused on their unmet expectations that they missed Jesus. They were so focused on what they thought Jesus was going to do that they missed what he was doing in their midst. And we all do this. Something happens that's different from our expectations, things that we had hoped for. And in our feelings of disillusionment or disappointment, we wonder, Jesus, where are you? We get so focused on our unmet expectations. We get caught up in our doubts and our disappointments and our fears. Unmet expectations leave us confused and disoriented. And this is true in life, it is true in our relationships, it's even true in our faith. You had hoped Jesus would heal you or someone that you love, just like he had done for so many others, and yet it seems like everything is just the same. And now you have a hard time seeing him through the disappointment of your unmet expectations. You had hoped that Jesus was going to change that person's heart, and yet they still served papers for divorce. They still refused to forgive you even after all of these years. You had hoped that things would be different, but they're not. And now you are left wondering, Jesus, where are you? It's like this fog, this veil that is keeping you from being able to see him. But remember, the resurrection teaches us that things aren't always as they seem, which means your circumstances don't tell the full story of your life or what's going on. Your failures, your struggles, your doubts, your fears, your weaknesses, your unmet expectations, those things are real and they are painful, but they don't tell the full story. The Easter account is filled with men and women who believed and felt one thing about Jesus, who believed and felt one thing about their circumstances, but when they encountered the risen Christ, everything changed in a moment. Each person in the resurrection account experienced renewed energy, renewed strength, renewed hope after their encounter with Jesus. They see Jesus for who he really is, not who they hoped that he would be, not what others had told him he was like, not what they felt was true. They encountered Jesus and it changed everything. And if Jesus is alive, then that means that God is up to something bigger than we can imagine, which means he probably has something in store for our lives that is much better than we can believe. And as we lift our eyes from our circumstances, the fog begins to clear and we begin to see Jesus more clearly for who he is and what he is doing, that he has been with us all along. We discover that things are not always what they seem, that they don't tell the full story, and that Jesus is with us. We see this in the account of the two guys walking to Emmaus. It ends like this. They get to where they're going. They're talking to Jesus, who they still don't know is Jesus, whether because, you know, God's put a veil over their eyes because they need to like unpack some of the Old Testament stuff that would connect all the dots that then they would go on to teach, or maybe it was just they couldn't see him because of what they were experiencing. But whatever it is, they get to where they were going. They said, "Hey, Jesus, stay with us," or, "Well, hey, you, new friend, stay with us. Let us host you." And Jesus becomes the host. Verse 30, when he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. And their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. Oh. And they asked each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he was talking with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?" I love this because the moment it all clicks is not as they were retelling and re-experiencing and re-feeling the emotions of Friday. The moment it all clicked for them was not as Jesus laid out all of the theological reasons for why he had to come and live and die. The moment it clicked with them is when they sat down and shared a meal with their friend. The moment it clicked is when Jesus became personal to them again. They weren't talking about theology. They weren't talking about their pain. It was a relationship, sharing a meal with a friend. And there was something so familiar about that friendship that the blinders came off of their eyes and they go, "It's him." They had been with Jesus all along. In the personal presence of Jesus, it changes everything. And when we rest in the presence of Jesus, the fog lifts from our circumstances. The fog lifts from our eyes. It doesn't mean that it's changed necessarily. It means that we can see Jesus who is with us and walking through all of it along with us. Easter is a reminder that we follow a risen Savior and his presence in our lives. It changes everything. I woke up with a song on my heart this morning. It just happened to be the song that Aaron was going to play during this time. And it's the words of a not-so-old hymn. I was reminded of that after the 8 o'clock service. Guy told me it actually came out when I was in high school, so watch your words, son. "Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because he lives, we know who holds our future." Not the future, your future. "Life is worth the living just because he lives." Jesus, thank you for walking with us. And you experienced everything that we've experienced in this life, the pain, the suffering. You know what it's like to look up and say, "God, where are you?" You were there. Thank you that you do not abandon us in those moments. You walk alongside of us. And while our vision may be blurred and foggy, Lord, would you please break through that fog and reveal yourself, reveal to us that things are not always as they seem, and that, God, you are up to something better than we can even imagine. And so, Lord, thank you for the hope of the resurrection that gives us the strength for today and hope for tomorrow. In your name, Jesus, I pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message from Sherwood Oaks Christian Church. Did you know you can watch all of our video content, both current and past, on our YouTube channel? Visit youtube.com/Sherwood Oaks to watch messages, series, and complete worship services.